Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Of course, we're here now for our weekly Awakening Together gathering, and I'm very, very happy to be here. I noticed when I came into the room that there were fewer people than usual. People are starting to show up now, but my mind loves to joke, and so my first thought was, wow, there must be something going on that we don't know about because everybody's there. But I see people showing up now. But I was wondering, what are we missing? But people are popping into the room now. Welcome, everyone. We're going to start today, as we always start, with our saying hello to one another on the board. So I'm going to play the song that I typically play during our hello. It's called Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten. And y'all can just say hello, share what the weather is like where you are, share what mood you're in today, anything at all that you want to share, and please type on the board.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, everyone, for taking a few moments to greet everyone else on the board. That's very much appreciated. It's wonderful to take a few minutes just to kind of bond together, to recognize, you know, who we are together as one, whether you call that family or friends or oneself. Oh, and I see Phil says it's snowy in Grand Junction. Well, often what is west of here is heading here, so I'll check the weather for tomorrow, because tomorrow is my flight out to Alabama. For those of you who may be here for the first time or listening on the radio for the first time, I'd like to share a little bit about what Awakening Together is. There is a consistent wisdom in the universe that shows up in all religions. It shows up in philosophy, even psychology. It shows up in all cultures. It's shown up throughout time. There's nothing unique or new about this wisdom. It is not owned by anyone or by any organization. No one really has to go to a special place or to a special teacher to find this wisdom. It is, in fact, the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. Awakening Together is an online universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. You can learn more about Awakening Together at awakening-together.org. I have some announcements that I'm going to share this morning. My first announcement is that next Sunday, December 19th, we will have our first Awakening Together Satsang. This is going to be a new monthly event. It will happen here on the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Our very first guest, yes, is Mike Loween. Did I say December? Oh my goodness, sorry Barb. Yeah, I've always been a little dyslexic with dates. January 19th. January 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and Mike Loween is going to be our very first guest. Mike asked me why I picked him to be the very first guest for our Awakening Together Satsang, and I told him I didn't know. He said that was the best answer ever. And he accepted. And then after that, he and I got on the phone and talked. And when we talked on the phone, I didn't know anything about Mike, literally. And when we talked on the phone, we talked for about 15 minutes, and there was total resonation with everything Mike had to say. I'm really excited that he's coming here. He's going to share some things with us that about his spiritual path, about his shift, and then of course he'll be available to answer questions that we have. So please come next Sunday night, January 19th at 8 p.m. for Mike Loween and our first Awakening Together Satsang. I'm noticing next Saturday night at 8 p.m. Nook Sanchez will be here as well. So you can come both next Saturday and next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, 5 p.m. Pacific. I'd also like to point out that coming up in March, March 8 to 17, we have a contemplative retreat in Costa Rica at the home of Jeff Danner and Chandra Rath. It's a lovely, lovely home. And in fact, let me give you a link where you can go and look at pictures. There's room for 12 participants, but a maximum of 12 participants. Let me post a link for you. This is a Facebook link. So if you're in Facebook, you should be able to go and look at this page. If you happen to be listening on the radio or the recording, it's Kasananda-Bed-Bliss. That's the Facebook page. Kasananda, C-A-S-A-N-A-N-D-A, hyphen bed, hyphen bliss. You can go there and look at pictures of Jeffrey's home in Costa Rica. That's where our retreat is going to be, March 8 to 17, maximum of 12 participants. The retreat is going to be spontaneously guided. Plus, I think our host might have a few plans for us that we'll discover when we get there. But I am the retreat leader. We will be spending time in discussion, contemplation. There will be times of silence, times of walking together or walking alone. There will also be some recreational events that we can participate in. If you want to find out more about this particular retreat or you want to register with this retreat, you can go to awakening-together.org. And look at our events menu. You'll find information there for the Costa Rica week-long retreat in March. It's a wonderful opportunity to step out of summer for a little bit and step into the heart. Or sorry, step out of winter. See, Barb, I told you I'm a date and calendar dyslexic. I always have been. So if I ever say or type a date that doesn't make sense to you guys, remember this is one of the personality quirks of Regina Dawn Akers. She gets her months and seasons all mixed up. I know what I mean to say or type, but something else comes out. So if you want to kind of step away from winter for a little bit into some summer weather, also step into the heart for a week-long retreat, please consider the Costa Rica retreat, March 8 to 17. And I got those dates correct. Another retreat I'd like to highlight is the Choose Again retreat here in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. The dates of that retreat are May 3 to May 10. Choose Again is an attitudinal healing center directed by Diedrich Woolsack. And their primary retreat center is also in Costa Rica. So usually when people go to Choose Again, they go to Costa Rica. But I have invited them to Colorado, so that it's a little closer for some of us to experience them. Choose Again has a reputation of successfully helping people let go or transcend issues that they haven't been able to let go of or transcend before. Some of those issues include addiction, childhood trauma, anxiety, depression, some types of mental illness, or other types of mental or emotional pain. As I mentioned, typically people go all the way to Costa Rica in order to experience the Choose Again healing technique, but they will be here in the United States in May. So whether you're in Canada or the USA, it'll be much easier to come here and spend a week with them in Canyon City, Colorado. It's an excellent opportunity to experience the Choose Again miracle, and you can find more information on our Awakening Together website under events. I am also posting a link in the room for those of you who are here. So two retreats that we have coming up, March and May, both along with some other retreats, they're all listed on Awakening Together under the events menu. So you can go and have a look at them there. Also, I plan to highlight the Choose Again retreat at our Awakening Together member meeting on February 2nd. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to try to invite some people who have experienced Choose Again to come here and share about their experience. For those of you who don't know, we do have monthly member meetings the first Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. So again, the first Sunday of every month, 8 p.m. is our member meeting. The third Sunday of every month, 8 p.m. is our new Awakening Together Satsang, and we'll have guest speakers or teachers at every one of those satsangs. So those are our announcements for today. What I'd like to do now is play our opening song. Now this is a song that I have loved since I was about 3 years old. This has been a favorite song of mine pretty much my entire life. Some of you may know this song. It's by Roger Miller. It's called King of the Road. But I'll tell you what I love about this song is the happiness in it. I love, if you listen to the words, how he talks about just being always happy, whether he's, you know, jumping on a train, sleeping on the ground, moving a broom around for a couple minutes somewhere to get a little bit of money so he can get a room. He seems to love everyone. It's just a happy, happy, finger-snapping tune. So here's one of my all-time favorites, King of the Road by Roger Miller.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. Oh, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Whoa, worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of the children and all of their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road, trailers for sale, rent rooms to rent 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a...
All right, so for those of you who came into the room while the song was playing, you may have recognized it, King of the Road by Roger Miller. As I mentioned, it's been one of my favorite songs since I was about 3 years old, a very, very long time. But what that song says to me, what that song has always said to me is happiness, you know, like pure happiness. He's happy whether he has no cigarettes, whether he's picking up a very small butt that he found on the road and just getting a puff or two, no matter where he's sleeping. He seems to love everybody. He mentions the engineers, the children. It's just, to me, it's just a happy, happy song. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is happiness. So this is why I pulled out Roger Miller from the 1960s. Before we do that, why don't we go ahead and go into a moment of silence and prayer? Please join me in silence first. And now for a centered prayer. It's amazing how happiness is what everyone seeks. Happiness is what everyone wants for themselves, for their children, for anyone at all that they care about. And yet at the same time, our search for happiness can be exactly that which is causing our unhappiness. It's as if we're totally confused about what happiness is, how to be happy. We seem to think it's something that we have to get and we have to hold on to, and it can be taken away. And so we fight for it and we struggle for it. And in this search for happiness, what we miss is happiness itself, which is right here, present, right now. If we just let go of that search for happiness, we find it's here. It reminds me of something else from my childhood, a story my mom used to tell me about the bluebird of happiness. I remember these two little kids searching for the bluebird of happiness. They traveled all over the world, and everywhere they went, it had just left. They went to the next place. It had just left. They could never quite catch up with it. And then when they got back home again, full circle, in the privacy of their own backyard, they found the bluebird of happiness. And so my prayer is that we find that bluebird of happiness right here, right now. Amen. All right, I see you all missed the end of my prayer. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I started hearing sounds from the room. But because I was in prayer, I didn't stop then. I didn't feel to stop praying because it didn't matter whether you heard the prayer. There's something in the energy of prayer itself. So even though I knew that something had gone wrong technically, I continued the prayer. And in short, what I prayed for is that we would all recognize that happiness that's present here now. And what I would like to do now is I would like to turn the mic over to Lynn Johnson. She's going to read for us today from Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And you remind me of a song that I used to sing when I was a kid. I don't know where it came from, but I think it was maybe popular. And it was, I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy too. And I used to think that, oh, I can't be happy unless everyone's happy. So beautiful. The path of unconditional happiness. The highest spiritual path is life itself. If you know how to live daily life, it all becomes a liberating experience. But first you have to approach life properly, or it can be very confusing. To begin with, you have to realize that you really only have one choice in this life, and it's not about your career, whom you want to marry, or whether you want to seek God. People tend to burden themselves with so many choices, but in the end, you can throw it all away and just make one basic underlying decision. Do you want to be happy, or do you not want to be happy? It's really that simple. Once you make that choice, your path through life becomes totally clear. Most people don't dare give themselves that choice because they think it's not under their control. Someone might say, well, of course I want to be happy, but my wife left me. In other words, they want to be happy, but not if their wife leaves them. But that wasn't the question. The question was simply, very simply, do you want to be happy or not? If you keep it that simple, you will see that it really is under your control. It's just that you have a deep-seated set of preferences that gets in the way. Let's say you've been lost and without food for days, and you finally find your way to a house. You can hardly make it to the doorstep, but you manage to pull yourself up and knock on the door. Someone opens the door, looks at you, and says, oh my God, you poor thing. Do you want something to eat? What would you like? Now, the truth is, you really don't care what they give you. You don't even want to think about it. You just utter the word, food. And because you really mean it when you say you need food, it no longer has anything to do with your mental preferences. The same goes for the question about happiness. The question is simply, do you want to be happy? If the answer is really yes, then say it without qualifying. For all, what the question really means is, do you want to be happy from this point forward for the rest of your life, regardless of what happens? Now, if you say yes, it might happen that your wife leaves you, or your husband dies, or the stock market crashes, or your car breaks down on an open highway at night. Those things might happen between now and the end of your life. But if you want to walk the highest spiritual path, then when you answer yes to that simple question, you must really mean it. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not a question of whether your happiness is under your control. Of course it's under your control. It's just that you don't really mean it when you say you're willing to stay happy. You want to qualify it. You want to say that as long as this doesn't happen, or as long as that does happen, then you're willing to be happy. That's why it seems like it is out of your control. Any condition you create will limit your happiness. You simply aren't going to be able to control things and keep them the way you want them. You have to give an unconditional answer. If you decide that you're going to be happy from now on for the rest of your life, you will not only be happy, you will become enlightened. Unconditional happiness is the highest technique there is. You don't have to learn Sanskrit or read any scriptures. You don't have to renounce the world. You just have to really mean it when you say that you choose to be happy. And you have to mean it regardless of what happens. This is truly a spiritual path, and it is as direct and sure a path to awakening as could possibly exist. Once you decide you want to be unconditionally happy, something inevitably will happen that challenges you. This test of your commitment is exactly what stimulates spiritual growth. In fact, it is the unconditional aspect of your commitment that makes this the highest path. It's so simple. You just have to decide whether or not you will break your vow. When everything is going well, it's easy to be happy. But the moment something difficult happens, it's not so easy. You tend to find yourself saying, "But I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't think I'd miss my flight. I didn't think Sally would show up at the party wearing the same dress that I had on. I didn't think that somebody would dent my brand new car 1 hour after I got it." Are you really willing to break your vow of happiness because those events take place? Billions of things could happen that you haven't even thought of yet. The question is not whether they will happen. Things are going to happen. The real question is whether you want to be happy, regardless of what happens. The purpose of your life is to enjoy and learn from your experiences. You are not put on earth to suffer. You're not helping anybody by being miserable. Regardless of your philosophical beliefs, the fact remains that you were born and you are going to die. During the time in between, you get to choose whether or not you want to enjoy the experience. Events don't determine whether or not you're going to be happy. They're just events. You determine whether or not you're going to be happy. You can be happy just to be alive. You can be happy having all these things happen to you, and then be happy to die. If you can live this way, your heart will be so open and your spirit will be so free that you will soar up to the heavens. This path leads you to absolute transcendence, because any part of your being that would add a condition to your commitment to happiness has got to go. If you want to be happy, you have to let go of the part of you that wants to create melodrama. This is the part that thinks there's a reason not to be happy. You have to transcend the personal, and as you do, you will naturally awaken to the higher aspects of your being. And that is the end of the reading for the day. And I'm turning the mic back to you, Regina.
Thank you very much, Lynn. I read The Untethered Soul for the first time in 2009, somewhere between the time that Inner Ramana came and I moved here, somewhere in the few months between those two. I know that because I find notes in my book about Inner Ramana. So I know Inner Ramana had already come, and I remember sitting in my sunroom in North Carolina reading it. So I know I was still in North Carolina. And what I remember is loving the book. But you know, I never remember details. And recently I've been rereading the book because it's a book that's being included in the Minister Preparation Program. So I'm rereading the book and preparing to write a course based on this book. In my second reading of the book, what I found that jumped out at me in a way that I can't even describe was chapter 15, which Lynn just read the first few pages to you. Chapter 15 is one of the spiritual paths that's introduced in The Untethered Soul. It's not the only one, but it totally spoke to me. I heard immediately to take this vow of happiness, that this vow of happiness was my spiritual path now. You know, it's funny because you could argue it's not my first spiritual path. My first spiritual path was A Course in Miracles. And then there came NTI, and that was my spiritual path. And then there came the relationship with Laurent and the thoughts of awakening, and all of that was happening at once. That was my spiritual path. And then the teachings of Inner-Ramana, that was my spiritual path. You know, and I remember there was a year of silence in there somewhere. That was a spiritual path for a time. But if you look at all of it together, what you really see is what Michael Singer says, is that life is your spiritual path. You know, life is your spiritual path. And a big part of what I needed to do occurred through A Course in Miracles and NTI and Laurent and the teachings of Inner-Ramana and that year of silence, that year of contemplation here. There was a lot that happened. And it seems like everything that happened through all of those previous spiritual paths prepared me for this one. I don't know that at an earlier time I honestly would have been ready to take a true vow of happiness. Because a true vow of happiness, as he says, you know, you have to be willing to be unconditionally happy. And before, I don't think I would have been willing to be unconditionally happy. I may have intellectually said, yes, I want to be happy, but it wasn't true. I didn't really want it. I was like the people he speaks of in the book. I want to be happy unless this happens. I want to be happy, but only if this goes this way. That's the way I was before and didn't know it. You know, you don't see it. You just believe you're the victim of those things. But all of the purification and all of the clarity that came through my previous spiritual paths have prepared me for this spiritual path, so that on the Friday before Christmas this year, there's December 19. That was December 19th. So there we go. That date did matter. The date I accidentally spoke earlier. I took a vow of happiness. And I meant this vow with every fiber of my being. And, you know, if you look at life with the judgmental mind, since November 19th, things have not gone perfectly. You know, if you look at it with the judgmental mind, I mean, there have been challenges. There have been times when the mind wanted to say, I can't be happy with this. Oh, December 19th was a Thursday? Okay, then December 20th was the vow. December 20th was the vow then, David. Thank you. Now I forgot what I was saying, so let me just be still for a moment. Let me be still for a moment. Okay, so challenges arose, and there were things that the mind would say, you know, I can't be happy with this. You know, I can't be happy because right now, you know, Jasmine and Danielle are very upset with me. I can't be happy because right now there's this incredible pain in my arm that I'm experiencing. I can't remember any of the others, but there have been a couple other challenges besides those two, but those are the two that are coming to mind. But what happened, as soon as the mind would in some way say, oh, this isn't good, you know, immediately it's like my vow spoke. My vow spoke to me, and my vow would, you know, in its wordless way ask, do you want to keep your vow? And I would say, yes. And then my vow would say, then all you have to do is open your heart to this current experience. Don't resist it. Be open. So there was a day when Danielle and Jasmine were both very upset at me, probably the most upset either of them have ever been, and they were upset at me at the same time. Danielle reacted with crying and running out of the house, and Jasmine screaming at me and then going in the bedroom and slamming her door. And then that left me in the kitchen alone pretty quickly with this, huh, and then that vow saying, do you want to keep your vow? Yes. Then all you have to do is open your heart to this experience. And what I found was that the mind wanted to say, you know, if Danielle cries, you can't be happy. If Jasmine, you know, gets angry and calls you the meanest witch on earth, you can't be happy. And the heart didn't have anything to say. It was just open. It just let the circumstance be. And I even sat down in the middle of the kitchen floor, because now I was all alone. And I sat there, and I just decided to be. Now the mind still tried to say, well, you know, if you were perfectly happy, you wouldn't even have to sit down in the kitchen floor right now. You could just go on with whatever it was you were going to do. Look, this event has changed the day. There must be something wrong. But the heart was simply open. Just open. It wasn't resisting. It wasn't thinking about how things should be different. It wasn't doing anything but being open. And I came to discover that open and happy are the same thing. Or yes, Barb has just typed in being. You could say being and happy are the same thing. As I looked at this, you know, I remembered times when I have been sad. You know, like when a pet has died and there's a sadness that occurs. But I realized that being open to that sadness, being open to that mourning, there's a beauty in it. It's when we resist it and say it shouldn't happen. You know, the death shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't be this way. You know, that's when something else happens that isn't happiness. Resistance became non-happiness to me. Openness became happy. But I realized you can be very sad, you know, the type of sad like mourning the loss of something, and still be happy because you're open to that mourning and you let it move right on through. I did have a pain earlier this week. A very, very strong pain in my arm. And I don't know what it was. It left. But there was a time when pain used to always make me grumpy. Physical pain used to always make me grumpy. And so as soon as I felt that pain, I could hardly even move my arm. As soon as I felt that pain, Mike Scott's song, Barb, what you're mentioning now, is the song I'm going to play at the end of today's gathering. So yes, it's like Mike Scott's song, Open. You've got it. But I had this pain. I couldn't even hardly move my arm. It was a very strong pain. And the vow just kind of said, well, does this matter at all? And when I said, no, this doesn't matter at all, what I found happening, and this is very difficult to describe, but anyone who's done this knows what it looks like. I found a looking happening at the pain. Something went all the way into the pain, the physical pain, and just looked at it, not judging it, not resisting it, not running from it, not saying it shouldn't be there. It went all the way into the pain, and it just looked. It was open. And what I found is that I was still happy. I was happy, you know? And I also found that happiness doesn't live in the head. There is a head happiness. There is. Sometimes the head is happy. Sometimes the head's not happy, you know. But I found that's not what true happiness is. True happiness is in the heart. And when we resist something, it's like we close the door to the heart. So it's like we shut off our happiness. We shut it off. We close the door. You know what? The happiness is still there inside. But we close the door, we identify with the mind, and the mind thinks, I don't know happiness. But actually, there's still a party going on in the heart. So in order to know that happiness, all we have to do is open to whatever is happening right now. Honestly and sincerely, open. And when you open, although the mind may still have its own ideas, if you really open and if you place your attention with the open heart, you'll find that you're happy. I've noticed in the last couple of weeks that sometimes I'm saying things, words are coming out of my mouth, that at one time if those same words had been coming out of my mouth, I would have simultaneously been experiencing unhappiness because I would have been judging the circumstance that I was talking about. What was the one the other day, Danielle, where I said, I'm smiling and you're frowning. Do you remember?
Eating together.
Oh, yes, eating together. When it looked like for a time that we were going to have to give up eating together because Danielle's work schedule, my work schedule didn't work, I'm working later, and you know, it just wasn't working anymore. It looked like we were going to have to quit eating together. And so I was saying this to Danielle that we're probably going to have to let that go. And I happened to notice that she was frowning and I was smiling. And I thought, look at this. You know, I'm talking about it. Like if you heard me on the radio, you might think I was complaining, maybe, because I'm saying, you know what, we're not going to be able to eat together anymore, I don't think. You know, I thought I might try and change this or change that, but I can't. You know, but all of those words were happening. I was telling Danielle the story, and yet there was still complete openness. There was openness to the fact that I like to eat together, that I like the family to eat together. There was openness to that. No resistance to the personality preference. There was openness to the fact that I even tried, you know, I even looked at maybe doing something differently so that we could eat together and I couldn't find anything. There was no judgment of the fact that I tried to rearrange things. There was openness. I tried to rearrange, and there was no resistance to the fact that I couldn't. There was openness to that. And there was openness as I was telling all of this to Danielle, and there was happiness. And you know, even in that little bitty story that I just told, a meaningless little bitty story, you can tell how we shut off happiness. Like maybe, especially on the spiritual path, I always say we get a little weird on the spiritual path. Once we enter on the spiritual path, we start judging things that we maybe wouldn't have judged if we weren't on the spiritual path. Like at one time, maybe we wouldn't have judged a personal preference. We would have felt totally okay with our personal preferences. We just would have judged not being able to have them. But once we're on the spiritual path, we not only judge not being able to have them, we judge the fact that we have a personal preference. You know, we see that there's a personal preference and we judge it because we think we're not supposed to have one, therefore we're bad for having one. But that's not open. What happened in the conversation with Danielle is that my heart was open to everything. There's a preference. I like it when we all sit down and have dinner together. I like that. But there's no judgment of that. I'm open to that preference. There's happiness. Schedule changes have meant that it looks like it's not going to happen. But there's no clinging to the preference. At this point, the preference is let go. There's no clinging to the preference, a recognition of it, but no clinging. This is just the way it is. I accept the way it is. There's still openness. There's still happiness. I did try and rearrange a few things. I thought maybe I could work it out. Here's where our spiritual mind comes in. But you're not supposed to try and change things. But I didn't judge. I said I did try and change a few things. Still openness to the fact that I tried to change a few things, but I couldn't. Still openness. But you can see how as I tell that story very, very slowly, how what we do is close. Certain ideas cross the mind and we close. Right? We might close because we noticed a preference. Oh, I'm not supposed to have a preference. Closed. We might close because we can't get our preference. Oh, I can't get what I want. Close. You know? We might close because we judge ourselves for trying to rearrange circumstances. Close. Resistance and judgment are the cause of unhappiness. That's it. Resistance and judgment. Openness. Allowing a full experience of what is right now and allowing it to be just as it is. That is happiness. And it's a happiness beyond the emotional head happiness. You know, the head is happy when it's giggling, when it's laughing, right? The head isn't happy when it's crying, sad, because the head says, I'm not supposed to be sad. But you know what? The heart doesn't say that. The heart embraces sadness when sadness is happening. And another thing that I've noticed since I've taken my vow of happiness is anything that we open up to passes through very quickly. It's experienced, and then it moves on, and the next moment is here. It's the things that we don't open to that actually stay with us. It's those things that we start carrying around as burdens. It's those things that weigh us down. It's those things that keep us stuck in an imagined past because we're carrying these ideas around, and then they project forward into an imagined future. Happiness is present openness, and it also allows us to remain present because this present circumstance is here and it moves on. Oh, I remember another challenge. I experienced frustration while trying. I have to do an annual sales tax filing for the state of Colorado. And since I only do it once a year, I always forget how. Every year I have to learn how again. I forget everything. I forget how to get into the website. You know, even though I make notes, it never works because somehow they edit the website every week, every year. So I can't get into the website. I can't remember how to get the report out of the system to show me who paid sales tax and call. I can't remember anything. And so I was trying a few different things, and I had been working on this for about an hour, and I was getting nowhere, and then another hour, and still getting nowhere. And I started to notice frustration arising. The frustration didn't come immediately. But after a couple hours of working and still having literally absolutely nothing done yet, because I couldn't remember anything and everything I tried didn't work, some frustration began to come. Hold on, my throat is tickling. Some frustration began to come. And when the frustration began to come, my mind wanted to really close. You're not supposed to feel frustrated, especially since you took a vow of happiness. The fact that you feel frustrated makes you doubly bad. But then the vow just said, well, do you want to keep the vow? And I said, yeah, I do. And the vow said, then open. Feel this frustration. Just open. Let it be. Just let it be. So I just sat back, I opened up, I felt frustration, and that looking that happened, that same looking that went into the arm pain, went into the frustration. The looking looked at it. It just looked at what frustration feels like. It looked. And then this thought crossed my mind, well, what should I do now? And then the answer that came was, well, just move on to something else now, I'll try this again tomorrow. So I just let go of it. And you know what? And the frustration ended. It was over. I went on to the next thing, and it was even forgot about. And the next day when I sat down, there was a patient self with this thought, if I just do this slowly, it will happen. And so I started doing everything very, very slowly. And I don't know how long, probably within 30 minutes, it was all done. So openness, that's happiness. And not not judging what I will and will not be open to. See, that's going back to the conditional happiness that he talks about in the reading that Lynn read. We don't say I will be open to feelings of joy, feelings of peace, you know, but I'm going to close to frustration and annoyance. Because then we're not eternally happy. If annoyance comes, I have to be open to it if I want to keep my vow. But then, like I said, what I've discovered is then it moves right on through. There were a couple people that commented when I took this vow of happiness that there was this thought in their mind that I, you know, might become a bliss ninny. Do you know what a bliss ninny is? A bliss ninny is somebody that closes and then pretends they didn't close. That's exactly what a bliss ninny is. They close to something, and then they deny their closure. They lie to themselves and others about it. Happiness is being open. Open. And with that, I'm going to play a song written by my friend Dave Van Dyke, who lives here in Pueblo. And I think that Barb will provide a link that can be used to make a donation to Awakening Together if you want to. You know, contemplate happiness. Contemplate the difference between open and closure. Contemplate the difference between open and resistance. Contemplate maybe where you've been closed or resistant, and ask, could I be open? Could I allow that? Just contemplate, is it possible to be perfectly happy, to take a vow of happiness and keep it? And let that be the finishing of the spiritual path. Let that clean the rest of the house, the choice to be happy. And while you contemplate that, I will play this song by my friend Dave Van Dyke, A Walk Beside the Charles River.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a walk beside the St. Charles River, referring to a river here in Colorado in the mountains, by Dave Van Dyke of Pueblo. And that song was actually a gift. It's a gift to the Foundation for the Holy Spirit from Dave Van Dyke. So he told us that what he'd like us to do is make it available, you know, for download, and maybe people pay 50 cents or something and the money go to the Foundation. But then he said he wanted to give me a better soundtrack first, and the better soundtrack never came. So right now I'm the only one with a copy of this. But it seems like y'all like it, so maybe I'll talk to Jay and see if we can figure out a way to make it available for a small donation. That was Dave's original intent. But yeah, it's a beautiful song. We now have about 10 minutes for sharing. So anyone who would like to share, based on the teaching today about happiness, please put up your hand and I will joyously turn the mic over to you. All right, Lynn, the mic is yours. I can always wait for someone to put their hand up because I like silence too. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Yeah. Just the topic for today and that decision for happiness, it just rings so true for me and reminds me so much of, you know, what many of us are right now going through the 40-day transformation program with Lisa Natoli. And really that's the big emphasis, is just to choose to be happy, just to choose to enjoy and to laugh. Today the thing is about laughter. And, you know, it's about just deciding that this is my bottom line. Now, I'm not going to go below my bottom line. You know, when I have a choice of being miserable about something or being happy about it, I have a choice. And having that choice is the power. It is all the power in the world. I can be looking at what seems to be a really, really miserable situation, and I can choose to be happy. And it's not that I'm choosing not to look at the thing that seems to be so miserable. It's that I choose to be happy because I know that in my happiness, my salvation lies. The secret to salvation is this: I'm doing it to myself, and I can choose again. And choosing to be open is an amazing choice. And I'm so grateful. And I see David has his hand up. So, David, I will let go of the mic for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn. You're choosing the bottom line. Kind of brought something up for me. I had said, well, what if I don't want to? You know, I just kind of got my own response to my own question, and it's that it's harder not to choose to be happy, right? So I think it's really difficult to be happy in this situation, and it's harder not to be happy. And for me, happy means open. And so if I stay closed in this situation, and that's what I want to do, it's a lot harder than opening up. And that's from my experience. It's beautiful. That's all I have to share.
Thank you, Lynn and David. And also, David, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I may not have been ready for a vow of happiness at an earlier time because I did still want conditions. You know, as I mentioned, my previous spiritual paths, the Course, NTI, relationship with Laurent, let's see, Inner Ramana and the Year of Silence prepared me to be truly ready for happiness. You know, I'm sure many people here have had the experience of going on a diet and and then, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something, blowing it and then just throwing the diet out the window and saying, I'll start again tomorrow. And then going on the diet again, and then around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, blowing it. I mean, I've gained weight a lot of times doing that, because what happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when you blow it, then you eat and eat and eat, because tomorrow you're going to start again. And you're not really ready to be on a diet, is what's happening. And as a result, you're gaining more and more weight. Many of us have experienced that. This is the same thing. If you're not really ready for happiness, you know, this could actually be depressing, because then you could really judge yourself for not being able to keep your vow, when what's really happening is you're just not truly ready. You don't really want to keep the vow no matter what. That's the key. You have to really want somewhere inside, you know, somewhere inside the heart, you have to really want to be happy no matter what. And if you really want to be happy no matter what, the heart will show you the way every time. As I mentioned, you know, when Jasmine and Danielle got extremely upset at me, and that's never happened in this house before, what happened that day. This was the first time. And, you know, the mind said, oh, you can't be happy with this. This is the worst thing that's ever happened in this house. But then the heart just said, do you want to keep your vow? You know, without words, but just, do you want to keep your vow? And I said, yes. So that's all that's required, no matter what. Do you want to keep your vow? Yes. Then the heart shows how. And that's what led to just sitting on the floor right there, opening up and just letting everything be. You know, that's the answer, is to really, really want it. You know, it's interesting, because when Lynn was reading, one of the things she read was Michael Singer said, once you decide you want to be unconditionally happy, something inevitably will happen that challenges you. That type of a sentence scares some people. And, you know, some people say things like, oh, that I don't want to take a vow of happiness because I don't want anything bad to happen. You know, I don't want to be tested. But you know what? The point is, stuff happens all the time, whether you take a vow of happiness or not. Stuff happens all the time. So I think what Michael Singer is trying to say is, stuff's going to go right on happening. The question is, do you want to continue to be open, closed, open, closed, open, closed? Or are you ready now to be open, period? Open. And the heart can show you how, no matter what. And that what is going to happen either way. It's like David said, it's a lot harder to be closed. So when that stuff happens, you can go about it the harder way, fighting it, resisting it, kicking and screaming and beating your head against walls. Or you can let the heart show you how to be open even now, even with this, and just take it in the moment. We still have, you know, 5 to 7 minutes for sharing. So if someone else would like to share, please put your hand up. I will read a sentence to you from what Lynn read, but this was the sentence. When I read this sentence, this is what told me, you know, yes, take this vow. The sentence is, this path leads you to absolute transcendence. Because any part of your being that would add a condition to your commitment to happiness has to go. See, it's just a continuing of the process that started with the Course in Miracles, a continuing of the letting go process, a continuing of that same process that was happening within TI and in the relationship with Laurent, the letting go, same process that in a Ramana, it's not really a change at all. It's the same thing. But now, just choosing happiness itself is the path. We still have some time for sharing. Something else just came for me to say, though. One thing I did have to let go of early on this path was my own definition of happiness. I told you all that the definition of happiness is now open, But prior to the definition of happiness being open, I had another definition, which meant I wouldn't feel anything except this certain type of emotion, which we call happiness. And if I had stuck with that definition of I won't feel anything but this certain type of emotion, then I would have been closing to other things, and then I would not have kept my vow. So you can see how we trick ourselves. So even our definition of happiness, the way that the mind defines happiness, has to be let go to keep the vow of happiness. I know, as Barb said, habitually we resist, and that's true. So what happens is that, at least in my experience, since I've taken the vow, there are a few times when the heart started to close. And that's when the vow of happiness said, do you want to keep your vow? And I'd say yes, and it would provide the answer in the moment, and then the heart would open back up. It's relaxing, resting. Rest, accept, and trust fits perfectly here. But that is a habit, that closing of the heart. But at least in my experience, the vow quickly shows up and says, do you want to keep the vow? I say yes. And then something is given that takes that closing down action that's starting to occur and moves it back into open. All right, since no one is raising their hand, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and play the song that I selected for the end of the gathering today. This is the song that Barb was referring to earlier. It's by Mike Scott, and it is called Open.
To the world, open to spirit, open to the changing wind. Open to touch, open to nature, open to the world within. Open to change, open to adventure, open to the new, open to love, open to miracles, open, beloved, to you. Open to learn, open to laughter, open to being blessed, open to joy, open to service, open to saying yes, open to risk, open to passion, peace and silence too. Open to love, open to beauty, open, beloved, to you. Thank you.
so that was Open by Mike Scott. It's a lovely song, I think. So I want to thank you all for coming and spending this time with me. I'm going to just release the mic over to you, Lynn, a few minutes early, but I've kept it a few minutes late before, so it all balances out. I'll be back tonight, by the way, for the Teachings of Inner Ramana, probably the last one, because I think we're going to finish the book tonight. So tonight, the Teachings of Inner Ramana, and then next week, I used to do something called Alone with Regina, and then when the guidance came to teach Inner Ramana, I stopped Alone with Regina and started it. We'll go back to Alone with Regina, which means the sharing will be just whatever the sharing is, no specific topic that carries from week to week to week. So maybe I'll see you tonight for Inner Ramana, and maybe I'll see you next week for the return to Alone with Regina, followed immediately by Awakening Together Satsang. Goodbye, everyone.